fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome a fantastic Friday to you. It is May the 7th. It's the Cale Clark Show. We're back to our regular programming after our pledge drive. And thank you so much for your support, everyone. God will never be outdone in generosity. You can be sure of that. We've got an amazing show for you today, but it's kind of bittersweet because today is our last day with Relevant Radio producer Karen Moran. And Karen, we're so happy that you're here today. We will miss you while you're gone, but we're going to take full advantage of this hour. We're going to have lots of fun together, and I can't wait.
Yay! I'll miss you too. I will miss these chats. And I will stay in touch on Twitter for sure, and absolutely, you'll know what I'll be listening to you, Cale. So, yeah.
You're going to call in. You're going to become a regular caller, I
think. It's Karen again.
Karen in Phoenix. Hey, well, listen, if you've appreciated Karen, if you want to talk to Karen, if you've got a question for Karen on her last day, how about that? Not just for me, but for her too. You can call 1-888-914-9149. It's a toll-free number on the Cale Clark Show, 1-888-914-9149. Or you can tweet at me, and Karen mentioned a Twitter poll that we have. You'll find that kind of interesting and maybe a little bit odd. We'll tell you what the question is in just a second. At Cale Clark Show is the show account. You can find it there. My personal is at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And you can email the show, cale@relevantradio.com, cale@relevantradio.com. And one of the things that you can do is email the show ideas, things that you'd like us to talk about. If you come across an interesting story, please send it to us. Maybe we'll cover it. Maybe we can fit it in. And you know who did email me something, Karen?
Who's that?
It was Father Rocky.
Oh, nice, yes.
The big boss, the CEO.
When he emails an idea, perk up, yes. He's got good ideas.
Yeah. He's like, Cale, I strongly suggest you consider this story. No. He would never do that. Father Rocky never tells us, I want you to talk about this, I want you to talk about that. He gives us a lot of freedom.
You're right. Yep.
And he does. The freedom What's of the he... children of God. And I appreciate that, Father Rocky, if you're listening. But Father Rocky did send me an idea for the show, and he said, hey, any interest in this? And I read it, and I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. This is an incredible story. This is an amazing story, Karen. And it has to do with the year of St. Joseph, because, as you know, Pope Francis has dedicated this year to St. Joseph, and we have these amazing talks that Relevant Radio personnel are giving called 19 on the 19th, all about St. Joseph. You can check out the Relevant Radio app or relevantradio.com for more on that. But Father Rocky got a letter from a lady named Mary Carty, who lives in Belleville, Illinois. And that's kind of a cool, I love that, because my parents are actually from a town named Belleville, Ontario, in Canada.
Oh, wow.
So how about that? But anyway, so Mary in Belleville said, Dear Father Rocky, in light of this year of St. Joseph, I thought you'd be interested in learning about the amazing story of St. Joseph's Altar of Answered Prayers at the Shrine of St. Joseph in St. Louis, Missouri. Now, I had never heard of this place before, and I don't know if you, Karen, have, or anybody listening has, but this has to do with a pandemic. Now, we're obviously living in pandemic times right now. COVID-19 is still raging. Especially, we need to pray for people, especially in India. They're just in a horrible spot right now. Pray for God's mercy. And these variants that are out there now are a lot more virulent than the original vanilla flavor of COVID-19, if you will.
Right.
And so please pray for people and Our Lady of Good Health, as Father Rocky loves to invoke her. We need to as well. And we pray, invoking her help at the end of every Mass on Relevant Radio. But this story has to do with another pandemic. And this was the cholera pandemic, if you will. And it's not as big of a problem now as it used to be, but it was a really, really dangerous situation in the United States in the 19th century. And this is where St. Joseph comes in. And Mary Carty in Belleville, Illinois, sent Father Rocky a story from the Jesuit Bulletin, which was a publication that was printed in, this particular story was from December 1958. So she's been saving this up, and it's an amazing story. And it talks about what happened in the United States with an outbreak of cholera in the 18th century, so about 100 years before. And cholera, by the way, generally it's caused by contaminated drinking water, and it can be contagious. The symptoms can be very sudden, severe diarrhea, stomach cramps, and you need to get medical treatment quickly. And especially back then in the 19th century, you could be dead within 24 hours if you didn't. And so this was a very serious situation. Now, it's extremely uncommon in North America, obviously, these days because of modern sanitation. But you'll still see outbreaks of it around the world. So 100 years ago, cholera was being fought big time in the United States. St. Louis, and this is where this Shrine of St. Joseph actually is located in St. Louis. St. Louis was an epicenter of a cholera outbreak. In 1833, there was a cholera outbreak. In 1848, in 1854, 1856. And this one that's in the article was from 1866. And the basic reason, there were some other reasons, but the basic reason was an inadequate sewer system at the time. So, and actually one of the outbreaks that occurred in 1849 in St. Louis, tragically, two people, this beautiful married couple, got married on a Sunday afternoon. And the husband, unfortunately, got cholera. They got married on Sunday. By Tuesday morning, he was dead.
Wow.
That's not good. No, that's a terrible tragedy. So
that's not good.
So that this last outbreak that took place in 1866 in St. Louis, Missouri, was really bad. It was probably the worst of all of them. It started in August of 1866, and it lasted for 2 months. The average deaths every day, 280 people died every day.
Oh my goodness.
In St. Louis. So this is major. So this, you know, we're talking about what's going on these days. This is right up there in terms of the body count. Mm-hmm. And so actually, believe it or not, the media, they actually didn't cover it. And the reason why they played it down because they didn't want people to panic. So maybe that wasn't the most responsible thing, but it was an incredibly critical situation. And so the church was mobilized. They were trying to help the victims. And believe it or not, at St. Joseph's Church in St. Louis, on the northeast corner of 11th and Biddle Streets, and if you're from St. Louis, you'll know that area, during this period, there were 10, sometimes as many as 25 funerals a day at St. Joseph's Church.
That's spins your head, huh?
So yes. this was ground zero. It couldn't have been any worse. And so Father Joe Weber, who was the pastor of the parish, and he was a Jesuit priest, and he gathered all the parishioners together one Sunday morning, and he said, listen, we're in big trouble here. So they made a vow. They all made a vow together, the priest and his parishioners. This is a beautiful story. They made a vow that if somehow, through the intercession of St. Joseph, the parish would be spared any further deaths from cholera, they would, in thanksgiving, build a monument in honor of St. Joseph, who was, of course, the patron of the church, St. Joseph's Parish. So that's what they did. They made this vow together. If God would somehow spare them through the intercession of St. Joseph, they would, in thanksgiving, erect a monument to St. Joseph. You know what happened? Mm-hmm. It worked.
Yes.
It worked. Believe it or not, from that point on, think about this, 280 people dying every day, 25 funerals a day just in this parish alone. After they consecrated everyone to St. Joseph, not one member of all the families that were there was struck with cholera.
Wow.
That is amazing. This is an incredible story. So they were like,
yeah.
It really was. It was another miracle wrought through the hands of St. Joseph. We don't go to him enough. You know, ite ad Joseph, go to Joseph. You know, in the Faith Explained series, we're talking about the Joseph of the Old Testament right now in Genesis, and he's really a type or a figure in some ways of the Joseph of the New. Go to Joseph. They all went to Joseph to get their grain during the famine in Egypt. He was the number two guy. And in a sense, you know, God puts St. Joseph, Jesus puts St. Joseph in charge of his spiritual household, the church, and we go to him for our needs in so many different ways. And so the parishioners were like, okay, we have to honor St. Joseph, and what are we going to do? So they decided to make the main altar of their church, and there's a picture of it in this article. It is absolutely gorgeous. I hope it still looks this way now, because obviously in the post-Vatican II era, some churches decided to, shall we say, change the architecture a little bit, change the decor, and the results have been mixed at best. So this church of St. Joseph in St. Louis, they decided that they would make the main altar the monument to St. Joseph. Because they were in the middle of constructing it anyways, and they said, you know what, let's just make this the altar of St. Joseph's answered prayers. And so they got together $4,000 to build this altar, which was a lot of money back in those days, in 1866. And they built this beautiful altar. Let me tell you a little bit, Karen, about this altar. It's incredible. And you can just see this in your mind's eye as I describe this to you. So it's really a masterpiece of Italian Renaissance style. And it was made out of wood. And the folks who made it were, it was a group, and I guess they might be into liturgical decorations. And I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Boeschers or Boeschers in Chicago. B-U-E-S-C-H-E-R-S. I don't know how to pronounce that right, but Boeschers, Boeschers, I'm not sure. Please forgive me if I've got that wrong. And they installed the altar in 1867. And the altar, at the end of the day, it cost $6,131. And they were more than happy to pay for this, even though it was a huge sacrifice, because they all escaped the cholera pandemic after they had consecrated themselves to Joseph. And it's actually, the altar is a replica of the beautiful altar of St. Ignatius Loyola at the Jesuit Gesù Church in Rome, which is sort of the headquarters of the Jesuits in Rome. But the difference was they swapped out the statue of St. Ignatius for a statue of St. Joseph with the infant Christ. Mm-hmm. Sorry, St. Iggy, we're switching it out. And it was a Jesuit parish, so I'm sure that they were fine with it. So at any rate, beautiful statue of St. Joseph holding the child Jesus, made of silver, and St. Joseph and Jesus are right at the center, and above the statue are these simple words, Ite ad Joseph, go to Joseph. Mm-hmm. And apparently it's just a catechism unto itself, this altar. There's the Sacred Heart is there, and as you look down, as your eye looks down upon this altar, you'll see the shield of the Holy Name, the Divine Child with St. Joseph, of course, the golden crown representing, of course, the kingship of Christ. We have, of course, the crucifix, Jesus on the cross. The tabernacle is there as well, the Eucharistic Lord. And then there is an image of the Lamb of God resting upon the tomb of a martyr. So this looks like a beautiful parish from what I've read about it, and I've seen the picture of the altar. And it's just gorgeous. And if you're from that parish and you know the story, if that has resonated with you, call in 1-888-914-9149. So that's the beautiful altar dedicated to St. Joseph at the Shrine of St. Joseph in St. Louis, Missouri. So that's an incredible story. I did not know that story. So thanks, Father Rocky, for sending that in. And I hope
that is really interesting. I'm looking at the pictures of it online as you speak because I was so curious. It is gorgeous. And you're right. When things are done so with such reverence, mm-hmm. It's a catechesis, right?
It really
there.
Is.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Yeah, and so that reminds me of something Peter Crape said when he was on the program last week. When he was growing up as a Christian Reformed believer, Dutch Reformed Protestant, he walked into a Catholic church once, a beautiful Gothic style Catholic church, with his father, and he said, "Hey, Dad, how come the Catholic churches are more beautiful than ours?" And he couldn't answer him. And beauty, the transcendentals, that's a big part of what we're all about in the Catholic Church, because our God is a God of beauty, and we want to honor him in our worship as best we can. You're listening to The K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. You can also tweet at me, at K.O. Clark, and the show account is at K.O. Clark Show. And speaking of that show account, Karen Moran logged on, and you know she had to take advantage of her last day to really ask a huge existential question. Now, obviously, we just talked about the cholera pandemic of the 1800s. Well, the modern pandemic, of course, is COVID, and a lot of people during COVID times are working from home. So what was the question, Karen?
Do you shower more or less through the pandemic?
Do you shower more or less?
Do you shower less? Are you showering less because of the pandemic? Yes or no, basically. So.
And by the way, this is an anonymous poll. You're not going to.
Yeah, we won't
all
know
Twitter
who voted,
is not going to know
who voted why. We won't put you on blast for showering less or the same or. You know.
Now you might say, why are we asking this question? Well, there was a hilarious article that came out in the New York Times yesterday about this very topic, that apparently people are bathing less during the pandemic. And as long as people don't complain about it, they're going to keep it that way.
Slider. You stink.
That would be a
complaint. Nicely done, Patrick. Nicely done. I didn't even think of asking you to cue that one up. That was great.
Registered complaint.
Yep, you got it. And listen, hey, Slider would have loved this story. So Robin Harper, the story starts out by interviewing Robin Harper, who's an admin assistant at a preschool on Martha's Vineyard. Nice place.
Sure.
And she's apparently not showering as much as she used to. I don't know if the kids are into that or not, but she said that she grew up showering every day. Quote, "It's what you did," she said. But when the coronavirus pandemic forced her indoors, away from the general public, she started showering less and less, only once a week. Hmm. And this practice has stuck for her. She says that it feels environmentally virtuous. Hey, save the planet. Don't shower. Also practical and freeing. Now, she also said this. Here's another quote from her. "Don't get me wrong." And she's 43 years old, by the way. And this is Robin Harper, a teacher in Martha's Vineyard. "I like showers. Don't get me wrong. I like showers. But it's one thing off of my plate. I'm a mom. I work full time. It's one less thing I have to do."
Okay.
Can you relate to that, moms?
Most of the time when I was a young mom, I just craved, could I please just get in the shower? Because you're so busy. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's
it was
that's
the opposite right. for me.
You want to get a shower.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Actually, the smartest thing I ever did in my life, I don't know where this came from, but when the night that Michaela was, she was a preemie baby. She was premature. We told 2 weeks early. And in the middle of the night, Trish went into labor, and I said, oh, my goodness. I hadn't even slept that night, and I was like, I'm not going to sleep for the rest of my life. But somehow I had the presence of mind to tell her, you need to take a shower, Trish, before we go to the hospital, because I don't know when you're going to get your next one. And so she did. And because I was like, you always hear, like, first babies will take, you could drive, like, for 5 hours to get to a hospital, and you'd still be on time, because they take a long time, usually. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, just take a shower. Take a shower. You'll thank me later. And she was like, yeah, that was the best advice ever. So, because in the hospital, it's kind of sketchy. You never know, right? So
you're going to get points for that for the rest of your life.
That's right. You know, ideal husband, I'll tell you.
Kindness.
So now, is it kind not to shower? I don't know. Apparently, Americans have become, according to polls, a lot more Spartan when it comes to ablutions. Mm. So the British as well, by the way. The British are used to keeping a stiff upper lip, Karen, but apparently they're also keeping a clothespin on their nose these days. Because British media is telling us, and this was in the New York Times article, according to a government survey, 17% of Britons had abandoned daily showers during the pandemic.
I was uncomfortable. And in the immortal words of Ricky Ricardo, somebody's got some splaining to do.
Yeah. Thanks, thanks, DB. Woman crush every day, Doris Burke. All right, so I don't know. Back to America for a second. Another person that was interviewed in this piece, Heather Whaley, who's a writer in Reading, Connecticut. And I'm surprised, Patrick, you didn't pull the Matt Foley. So you want to be a writer, huh? Well, let me tell you when you're living in a van down by the river. And apparently there's no showers in a van down by the river either.
I live in a van down by the river.
Challenge accepted.
We got to use all the quotes, you know, all the sound bites for your last day, Karen.
Okay. All right.
So this writer living in a van down by the river. No, I apologize. I'm sure that you don't. Heather Whaley is her name. Her shower use apparently has fallen by 20% in the past year.
That's keeping pretty good track of your percentages. I don't know what 20% is.
She's like, keeping the stats on that one.
So of 7 days, you're showering. I don't know, 100%.
Like, yeah, I could only figure out for weekdays. Like, that'd be like 2 days out of five in a weekday. But 23.7%. I'm taking less showers. Okay. So she's 49 years old, Heather Whaley, and she said that she started thinking about, why am I showering every day? Do I need to? Do I want to?
It's like a reset. You know, we just get up.
I think it's true.
Reset, you know.
It's part of a ritual. Now the good news is, they went back to that teacher, Miss Harper. This is Robin Harper on Martha's Vineyard. Miss Harper says she still uses deodorant, for which we are thankful. And she also said she does a daily wash of, quote, the parts that need to be done, end of quote. I don't want to speculate on that at all. She says she does that at the sink. Okay, we'll just leave that one alone. And we'll continue on, but she doesn't want to offend anyone, she says. All right. And she says, by the way, the children at her school where she teaches have not complained once.
Right. They will speak up. Kids say the darndest things, as we know.
I think she's right. She said the kids will tell you if you don't smell good. 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old kids will tell you the truth.
Yes.
I believe that 100%.
Keep some of those around. They're good for your ego.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, the kids are more like, you know, Maverick and Top Gun. They'll tell Slider, hey, Slider, you stink, man. You need a shower. But daily showers, by the way, if you're wondering where this whole phenomenon started, it wasn't actually that long ago. People used to take a bath only once a week, and the rest of the week they would go to the sink and just wash, you know, their armpits and other parts. And
that was no way.
Yeah. Yes way. Yeah way. So there's another guy they interviewed in the article, the New York Times, a guy named Mr. McCarthy, Donadak McCarthy. That's an interesting name. So he used to shower every day, but then he went to the Amazon jungle in 1992. And that experience convinced him that his daily habits were hurting the environment, the rainforest, and all that sort of stuff. So he said it's not good to be washing with soap every day. And some doctors actually say that's true, Karen, because it can strip the skin of natural oils, right?
I mean, we don't give our dogs a bath every day. And that's because of the oils in there. Mm. But, you know,
my dog Egbert is hypoallergenic, by the way.
Yeah, so is Mikey, but he gets smelly sometimes.
Hair instead of fur. Yeah, oh yeah, they
mine
do.
Too.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
But he's so much more huggable when he's clean and soft.
Oh yeah,
and shiny.
There's no doubt.
I think people are too, so I don't know. Maybe.
Absolutely. And Patrick Alog just messaged me saying cleanliness is next to godliness.
Yes.
That is correct.
Right, Patrick.
That is correct. That's what I learned from my parents.
And by the way, folks, that is not in the Bible, in case you're wondering. A lot of people think it is, you know. It's one of those famous verses that really aren't there. But he also, Patrick, you also said that deodorant is the college guy's shower.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. Just keep covering it up.
Now, granted, though, I didn't live in the dorm, so but that's what I've been told.
Okay. All right.
Well,
I won't
odor.
Ask if that's a personal anecdote or not. So, but all right. So, but apparently, yes, washing with soap every day can strip the skin of its natural oils, leave it feeling dry. But you should wash your hands, of course. Always wash your hands, especially in these COVID times.
Yes. And
the reason why, Karen. Mm-hmm. That the showers became so frequent for people was because of the Industrial Revolution.
And you're fancy if you get a shower, right?
Well, people started moving into cities, and then cities were dirtier, right? Lots of people living in one small area, and so people felt like they needed to, for the sake of their neighbors, wash a little bit more frequently, love of neighbor. And so people used to, soap manufacturing became a thing, indoor plumbing got better, running water became more plentiful, and so wealthy people would set themselves apart by having fancier soaps, like Irish Spring or something. I don't know. And it became an arms race of soap, if you
an
will.
An underarms race of soap. Dun,
dun. That was really good. That was really
I'm trying
good.
To break into the scene of comedy here.
Yes. Yeah, so she'll be appearing at Yuck Yucks in Phoenix for the rest of the week.
Yes.
Yeah, you got it. And anyway, so this thing just goes on and on and on. There's a lot about environmentalism here, that an 8-minute shower uses up to 17 gallons of water. Running water for 5 minutes uses as much energy as running a 60-watt light bulb for 14 hours. Soap is made with petroleum. Anyways.
Yeah. You know, Kale, I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but one of my first jobs when I was 15 years old was working as a visitor's aide in Colonial Williamsburg. So, that means that I'm in a lot of family photo albums out there. So everybody find your picture of the girl. Anyway, and part of the learning to work in Colonial Williamsburg was learning all about colonial times. And this whole showering stuff did not happen. And they even the ladies carried flowers so that they could put their nose in the flowers when they walked past someone who was, and they would, you know, the men would wear wigs and they would just put beef tallow in the wigs and restyle them, and there was stuff living in the wigs and it, you know, it was not a big, I would say they probably went more than a week without a
I don't know
bath.
If you were a method actor when you were doing this and you got in character by not showering. No, hopefully not.
I did not. And I had to be outside all summer in the Virginia heat in a whole full, you know, I looked like a colonial girl, you know, a colonial woman on the wing. No, I had the mob cap and the whole.
So. Wow. Wahoo wah. You know, there are a bunch of wahoos, I guess. So.
In but Virginia, you're right.
Well, that this is a so I don't get into dirty topics on this show. I leave that for other people.
You're right.
But that's about as dirty as I'll get talking about people not showering. But I thought it was interesting, and I thought it would be kind of a fun story to come clean with here on the Cale Clark Show. And that's about as tortured. Okay, well enough attempts at humor.
We're going to go to the comedy club all week with that one.
Hey Karen, I've got a phone call for you.
I've
got a phone call for you. Joanne is on the line from Maine. Joanne, you are live. You want to talk to Karen? She's right here.
Hi, Joanne. Hi, Cale. Hi, Karen. I'm calling from Naples, Maine, and I apologize up front in case I have a little bit of a distorted connection. Karen, today was a great day having met the goal for the pledge drive, and then I listened to Cale say, today's your last day, and I thought, oh, no. I'm calling to thank you for all the times that I called in when you and Father Heaney were leading the rosary. I had a number of people at that time, neighbors, and who would ask for prayers. One particular family, a little girl, had a brain tumor unexpectedly, a little two-year-old, and the family were not practicing Catholics, but due to the rosary and the relevant radio, Divine Mercy Chaplet, I mean, they were absolutely stunned that she had such support, and she's done beautifully.
Wow.
Joanne, thank you for that, Joanne. Joanne, you can stay on the line with Karen for a minute. We got to take a quick break here, but thanks for that call, Joanne. If you want to talk to Karen on her last day at Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show. Be right back.
Fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, Patrick, CBS golf music there. The Thrill of Victory, I think that was called, by Yanni, if I'm not mistaken. And the Thrill of Victory is ours tonight because thanks to you, we made our goal. We hit our pledge drive goal during this quarterly campaign. The theme this week was Give Hope, and you certainly did do that. We are now fully funded for the next quarter here at Relevant Radio, but it's not too late to give. If you didn't get a chance to and you'd still like to give, you can call. Still, that number to call for giving is 877-291-0123. It's a different number than our studio line, of course, or you can go to relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. And all the bonus goodies that you get for giving online, the great talk on Mary by Father Rocky, all those things are still there at all those various giving levels. You can check that out online. And I just want to say to everybody who helped us out, and we had an incredible show yesterday, an incredible fundraising effort. My daughter Michaela called in and encouraged people to call, and you did, and you showed your love to us. And this is why I want to share a scripture verse with you from the letter to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love which you showed for his sake in serving the saints, as you still do. So I don't know if we're saints yet, but we're in progress, to be sure, and we all are. And thank you for showing your love for us and keeping us going here, bringing Christ to the world through media on Relevant Radio. And again, it's Karen Moran's last day with us, America's big sister.
Hey, kids.
And Karen, we can always rely on you for a cheerful smile, for support, for encouragement, for a laugh. And we're going to miss you, to be sure. And you're going to be not a stranger. You're going to be calling in, and you'll be
you'll
be around from time to time. And tonight's going to be a big celebration, the last night for you, not only on Trending with Timory coming up after this show, but the Family Rosary Across America with Father
That's
Rocky.
Right.
That's going to be pretty emotional.
I hope not. I've cried one time on the rosary, so hopefully it won't be a round two for me.
We'll see
it's
what
very
happens.
Hard to get through the prayers when you're trying to bite the inside of your cheek and not cry.
So
gonna be strong. I'm gonna get my power stance out, you know, and do the rosary.
Yeah. So. I'm not crying, you're crying. We'll see what happens.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we'll definitely be tuning in for sure, and we'll be praying along with you. And you know what? One thing we've got to do is seize the day. We've got to enjoy every day. We're going to enjoy this hour with you, Karen. And I found an article by our good friend Cal Newport, who's written a lot of interesting books like Deep Work. When it comes to living the deep life, and we could really apply this to our Catholic faith too, he wrote a little blog post the other day called Favorable Conditions Never Come. Favorable conditions never come. Mm. It's always so easy to say, I'll get serious about my faith when, or I'll be happy when this happens. But, these things never happen. And he actually, this is really about, of all people, Teddy Roosevelt. And I don't know if you're a big presidential historian, but Teddy Roosevelt, of course, was the 26th president of the United States in the early 1900s, from 1901 to 1909. I'm not that smart. I just know how to use Wikipedia. But of course, he was also a great naturalist, a great outdoorsman, right. And Cal
Riders.
Newport. Yeah, all that stuff, the Rough Riders. And if I'm not mistaken, he survived an assassination attempt because of a metal glasses case that he had in his pocket. The bullet bounced off of it. I'm pretty sure that happened. I'm pretty sure that was Teddy Roosevelt. When I was a kid, I devoured encyclopedias. I was like Encyclopedia Brown. There was a traveling encyclopedia salesman that came to our door one day, and my dad bought us a set, and I would just devour stuff about the U.S. presidents. I loved it. I loved
that's
history.
Cool.
And, yeah. So
I mean,
I read that when I was a kid.
Especially being a kid from Canada. I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah, you know, our Canadian guys aren't as interesting in some ways, you know. I know everybody likes Justin Trudeau's socks, but I found guys like Teddy Roosevelt really, really quite inspiring. And so Cal Newport talks about something that happened in Newport's life, or sorry, in Teddy Roosevelt's life. But he started off with a quote from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis had a wonderful homily or sermon, if you will, called The Weight of Glory, which he delivered in World War II. And here's a quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, "We are always falling in love or quarreling, looking for jobs or fearing to lose them, getting ill and recovering, following public affairs. If we let ourselves, we shall always be waiting for some distraction or other to end before we can really get down to our work. The only people who achieve much are those who want knowledge so badly that they seek it while the conditions are still unfavorable, because favorable conditions never come." End of quote. And I love that quote. We can apply that to our work. We can apply that to our life. When are we going to get serious about the deep life? When are we going to get serious about our Catholic faith? And so he talks about Teddy Roosevelt. Here's how he can inspire us in this regard. This is an incredible story. And he told this story, Teddy Roosevelt, in 1888 in his memoir called Ranch Life and the Hunting Trail. A lot of stuff from the 1800s today for some reason on the Cale Clark Show. But here's how the story goes. In the spring, as the ice began to thaw on the Little Missouri River that passed through Roosevelt's ranch called the Elkhorn Ranch, under the cover of night, a band of local horse thieves, these guys were infamous for stealing people's horses. You know, these days people steal cars out of your driveway. These guys stole horses. And this time they stole a boat from Teddy Roosevelt, from the Elkhorn Ranch. And it was the only boat that he had. So even though the river at the time was very treacherous, the thieves were very dangerous. These were armed men. These were nobody to trifle with. Roosevelt says, "I'm going after them." And he says, and I quote, "In any wild country where the power of law is little felt or heeded, and where everyone has to rely upon himself for protection, men soon get to feel that it is in the highest degree unwise to submit to any wrong," end of quote. So Teddy Roosevelt gathered two ranch hands, Bill Seward and Wilmot Dow. He built sort of a makeshift little boat of his own, and then the trio pushed out into the ice-choked river to start a 3 days journey to hunt down the thieves. Now, this is crazy because they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know if they're going to get killed. And while they're doing this in these terrible conditions, you know, the weather's horrible, they're in this icy river, what does Teddy Roosevelt do? He took with him a copy of Tolstoy's book, Anna Karenina. And he would read it while he was on this makeshift raft that they made, huddled under a blanket so that rain wouldn't get on the pages. Like, he still found time to study while he's on this manhunt, which is crazy. So Cal Newport says, basically, listen, we're always going to have distractions. We're always going to have reasons not to do X or, you know, get into the deep life. But we've got to push these excuses aside. We've got to actually pursue something and get down to it, even if the favorable conditions never come. And they might never come, but we still got to do it anyways. So I thought that was a cool story.
I like that story. I think that's great. You got to be doing your thing, but still pushing to learn. Like, get in there. Don't just wait for the perfect conditions to exist.
Yeah, that's right. They'll never come.
Sometimes life just keeps us so busy that we forget about doing what's important. There's always time to make time to learn.
There's always time to make time. And I'm going to make time for something right now. We're going to do this a little bit earlier than normal on the Cale Clark Show. We do this every Friday. This is a bit of an early edition of The Week That Was.
Okay.
Cardinal Newman was probably the most famous Protestant clergyman on the face of the earth when he became a Catholic. For the final push that I needed to swim back across the Tiber, back into the Catholic Church, Newman kind of kicked me into the water, if you will, threw me in, said, sink or swim. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you every day one of these little reflections for the month of May. And they're really all about the different titles of Mary in the Litany of Loretto. And we hope that this will help you to grow closer to her spiritually this month, so that you too can be a bit of a pontifex, can be a bit of a bridge builder.
I fell in love with the sound of music. There's just something about it that will always lift my spirit.
Mm-hmm. It's going to sound ridiculous after hearing about the sound of music, but a movie that always cheers me up is a rough and tough western with John Wayne called The Cowboys.
Fear is the path to the dark side.
That
sounds
was
like Grover to me from Sesame Street. I'm sorry.
Well, the same guy who did Sesame Street, Frank Oz, was the voice of Yoda. So that's probably the same person.
That makes perfect sense.
That was my bad. That is not the correct.
Oh, wow. Grover grew up.
use the force, Lucas. Come on, play the right clip.
You know, I think the best thing was to have been alive in the 70s and to have seen it when it came out in the theater. That, to me, is the only thing I like about Star Wars is that I saw it when I was a kid, and it was exciting.
My first movie. As I said earlier, it was super exciting. I was just blown away.
I think
away.
Mine was Herbie the Love Bug.
I want to tell you a kid joke.
Okay, let's hear your kid joke.
How does a praying mantis eat?
How does a praying mantis eat? I don't know. How does a praying mantis eat, Michaela?
Nom, 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 nom. Amen. Nom, 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 nom. Amen.
I love it. You gotta love it. Now, the light that Jesus brings is a lot different than lighting up one city in one country at one place in history, which happened at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem every year. Because Jesus, his light, is enough to illuminate the whole world, the whole cosmos, all humanity, Jew and Gentile, to lead all humanity in the second exodus for all those who would follow him. That was The Week That Was on the Cale Clark Show for this week, and that was produced by Lucas Holt. You might say, where's Lucas today? Well, Lucas is off today, and for a very good reason. His sister is getting married this weekend, so he took off with his wife Gina, and they're headed back to the old home state of Indiana for that wedding, and hopefully that trip will go off without a hitch, except for, of course, the wedding. But hey, I was working on that one all day, folks. What can I tell you? I'll be here for the rest of this day and all next week and hopefully for a long time here on Relevant Radio. But somebody who's not here for a very long time, only for really a few more minutes, is our own Karen Moran. So won't you call in and tell her how much you appreciate her? 1-888-914-9149. We're going to be back. Got to take a quick break. I'll be back in exactly 60 seconds. So don't go anywhere. And Karen will be here too.
This is Saint of the Day for Friday, May 7th on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You may have heard the old saying that God writes straight with crooked lines. That would apply to the life of Saint Rose Venerini. She was engaged to be married when her fiancé died. She thought God might be calling her to religious life, so she entered the convent but left a short time later to take care of her ailing mom. It was a Jesuit priest who became Rose's spiritual director, and then she decided to become a teacher. And that was it. They said she was a born teacher, opening a school for girls, training other teachers, school administrators, eventually helping organize many schools throughout Italy. When you look at your own life, you can see where God wrote straight with crooked lines. He helps you see how the interests and talents he gave you were meant to be put to the service of others for the common good.
Learn even more about the saints every day at 10 minutes to 8 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Pacific on Morning Air with John Harper and Glenn Leverance here on Relevant Radio.
This is The Cale Clark Show. giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Patrick's very deft at the board today. The final countdown. It's our last segment for the week on the Cale Clark Show. And it's our last few minutes with Karen Moran. If you'd like to call and wish Karen well and give her a word of thanks, 1-888-914-9149 is another call. Yeah, hey, there's
Mikey's on too.
All right, Mikey. I'm glad we got to hear Mikey one last time.
Someone must be at the door.
I thought that was actually planned. I thought there was a Mikey sound effect there. That
is that you, Patrick? No, it's
that was the real Mikey.
Two seconds ago, he was snoozing right there next to me.
That's what happens.
He heard you say it was my final day, and he just wanted to get in there.
Exactly. He wanted to steal the spotlight from me a little bit.
Right.
And you can also tweet at the show account if you want to give your thanks to Karen at Cale Clark Show. You can check it out. And hey, guess what? It is another day in May, which means we have to hear a little bit about Mary from Cardinal Newman. Hello, Newman.
Kramer!
Hello, Newman. Hello, Newman. Hello, Newman. Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman.
All right, yeah, Cardinal Newman, St. John Henry Newman, wrote a little reflection about Mary for each day of the month of May based on the titles of Mary in the Litany of Loretto. And today, May the 7th, the title he reflected upon was Mary, the Mater Amabilis, or the Mother Most Admirable. And he says this, why is she most admirable? It's because she was without sin. Sin is something odious in its very nature, and grace is something bright, beautiful, and attractive. However, it may be said that sinlessness was not enough to make others love her or to make her dear to others, and that for two reasons. Because first, we cannot like anyone that is not like ourselves, and we are sinners. And next, because her being holy would not make her pleasant and winning, because holy persons whom we fall in love with are not always agreeable, and we cannot like them, however we may revere them and look up to them. I thought that was an interesting point by Cardinal Newman, Karen, that sinlessness alone would not make us love Mary, because we don't like people that aren't like us. and we're definitely sinners, and she's not. So... and sometimes holy people, you know, even in this world, they're tough to live with sometimes, right? So,
right. They could be a little extra pious, maybe. maybe that gets under our skin.
That's right. And so it's a great point by Newman. Let's hear what he says next. This is a really nice reflection, actually. He says, now as to the first of these two questions, we may grant that bad men do not and cannot like good men. But our Blessed Virgin Mary is called Mother Most Admirable, or Mother Most Lovable, to the children of the church, not to those outside of it, who know nothing about her. And no child of Holy Church has but some remains of God's grace in his soul, which makes him sufficiently like her, however greatly wanting he may be, to allow of his being able to love her. So we may let this question pass. So he's basically saying that people in the church, you know, we've got something in us that can help us love her. But here's the second question. How are we sure that Our Lady, when she was on earth, attracted people around her and made them love her merely because she was holy? Because, again, holy people sometimes do not have that gift of drawing others to them. To explain this point, we must recollect that there is a vast difference between the state of a soul such as that of the Blessed Virgin, which has never sinned, and a soul, however holy, which has once had upon it Adam's sin. For even after baptism and repentance, it suffers necessarily from spiritual wounds which are the consequence of that sin. Holy men indeed never commit mortal sin. Nay, sometimes they've never committed even one mortal sin in the whole course of their lives. But Mary's holiness went beyond this. She never committed even a venial sin. And the special privilege is not known to belong to anyone but Mary. Well, that's an amazing, amazing point. He goes on to say that Mary's holiness was such that if we saw her and heard her, we should not be able to tell to anyone who asked us anything about her except that she was angelic and heavenly. Of course, her face was most beautiful, but we should not be able to recollect whether it was beautiful or not. We should not recollect any of her features because it was her beautiful, sinless soul which looked through her eyes and spoke through her mouth and was heard in her voice and encompassed her all about. That's what would draw all those to her who had any grace in them or any remains of grace in them or any love of holy things. Wow. It's just beautiful reflection. Yeah, isn't that cool?
It is. Kale, I was in adoration earlier today, and I was sitting there looking at the icon of Mary, and I was praying the Dolorosa Rosary, the Servite mm-hmm. Rosary, and I was thinking, how did you bear all of that sorrow and remain so serene? And I think you just kind of explained that for me.
And then
I was thinking, what was it like to be in Mary's mind, you know, in this crazy world, you know,
it's amazing
with
to think
that
about.
Soul shining out that's so mm-hmm. preserved. And she must have felt like completely alien, you know, but preserved and knew her purpose. I mean, really.
She's there's more so cool. to it. We kind of don't have time for it, but yeah. Newman's reflection on this is really Newman. that's a beautiful thought. Newman, you did it again. Yeah, absolutely. And really at any rate, hey, listen, we're running out of time. So we have something very special prepared for you, Karen. This is a surprise. I do. This is the very best of Karen Moran on the Kale Clark Show for you right now. Hit it, Patrick.
Oh, no.
Karen, I was saying today to someone else that you're kind of like America's big sister. You know, it's just not the same without you here. It's an 80s dance party, man.
Oh, my goodness. You've got the great tunes today.
I know. You know, it's a great show. When Thomas Dolby can somehow be shoehorned into the equation, you know it's going to be a great show.
17-month-old Logan, he's the nephew of one of our colleagues or a friend of a colleague. Anyway, he was found unresponsive in a pond. He was taken to Mayo Clinic.
Goodness.
And we prayed for him urgently. He has just been progressing along so miraculously. The doctors are calling him a miracle. Father Rocky says, more prayer, more better. And it's true.
Yeah.
There's so many that we don't hear about happening, you know, but some we do. And he's just like so amazing. We have so many connections and motions that we do physically in our Catholic faith. Sometimes we don't even think about it, but isn't it great that our actions in some way connect us to the practice of our faith? What if we take that out of the experience in Mass into the world?
That is really deep.
You know, sometimes I, every now and then I have a deep thought.
Oh, yeah. You're allowed to write in your books, folks.
Yes.
You can. Although sometimes that's embarrassing. Sometimes I look back and I say, I can't believe I said that. That was such a dumb thought.
Yes. It's okay. I already admit that I'm crazy. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, we're crazy, all right. We're crazy in love with our faith. The longer Lucas hangs out with me, the funnier he gets. That's something I've noticed. He's really...
This is a true statement.
Yeah.
My sense of humor has increased from working on the Kale Clark Show.
Yeah. I don't know if you're getting any holier.
I think all of us get holier by hanging out with Karen.
That's right. There's no doubt. She's America's big sister, like I keep saying.
Just this weekend, my daughter got a bacon cheeseburger that had peanut butter on it, and I took a bite of it. It was delicious. I'm not going to do that.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
A bacon cheeseburger with peanut butter? That sounds disgusting. Blockbuster musical Hamilton, which is came out in 2015.
I have a teenage daughter, so I know the Hamilton soundtrack by heart.
I only got to the intermission. I don't know, man. I'm getting old. I'm so tired at the end of the day.
Don't feel bad, Gail.
Why not?
It was hard for me, too.
Are you guys kidding me? Are you guys kidding me right now? Neither of you made it through.
Yet.
Oh,
yet.
There's just too many choices out there.
Should be more patriotic, Karen. I'm a Canadian, and I know more about this. No, I'm only kidding. But I will say this.
That hurts.
Ooh, that's a shot.
I
am not throwing away
my shot. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation.
Patrick evangelized the quote-unquote pre-Christian pagans of Ireland. We need to evangelize in what's often been called a post-Christian world. Karen, you're a great evangelist. Because
that
of your
really
smile.
Thank
because
you.
Of your joy. Yeah, and producer Lucas Holt put that together. Thank you, Lucas. He even Lucas. Reached back and found the PB bacon cheeseburger bed.
Yes!
I can't believe that.
That's so funny. Oh, my goodness. You never know what you say on a microphone.
I know.
It could be recorded. So, everyone, be careful.
There's a hot mic somewhere. Yeah, well, thank you so much for everything,
really cool.
Karen. And you know what?
We're only going to say goodbye.
We're not going to say farewell, but we do have a caller here. John is calling from San Jose. Welcome to the show, John. What are your words for Karen today?
Hi, Kale and Karen. I just want to let you know that I, too, have been listening to Father Heaney and Father Rocky with Karen for about 3 years on the Family Rosary, and I just am amazed how on cue, Karen is always on cue and follows Father Rocky perfectly.
Yeah, she's a real pro.
Thank you. He's a great leader.
Yeah, she has such a you have such an angelic voice, and you're so perfect. I'm gonna personally really miss you and your goodness towards all of us Catholics.
Oh my goodness! Thank you so much, John. I'll keep you in my prayers.
Wow,
please
thanks,
keep
John.
Me in yours.
What a nice phone call. That's so nice. And by the way, hey, Timory shows up next. You can call Timory, too, and talk to Karen if you can't get through here.
Okay.
We're starting to run out of time here. Let's go to one more call. Frank in Philadelphia. Hey, Frank, you're on the show.
Hey, Kel. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
Karen.
Yes.
I want to wish you the very, very best to you and your family. Thank you for everything you've done for Relevant Radio and all of us. I really appreciate it. And do you know, Karen, I think next week is Lucas Holt and his wife, Jean, or Jean. 1 year anniversary. Are you aware of that?
Actually, it was May 1st.
Yeah, it was on Saturday.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lucas.
Yeah.
Sorry,
that's
Lucas.
Okay. That's okay.
Lucas, if you're listening on the road right now.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Frank.
Oh, thanks, Frank. That was Frank calling from Philadelphia. Oh, there were two really sweet calls there. And I know there's a lot more people out there who share the same sentiments. And I know they're praying for you, Karen. Thank you, for everything that you've done for Relevant Radio. And you're not done yet. We're still going to have you around.
Couple more. Yeah.
Absolutely. We got 2 more hours with Karen here tonight.
That's right.
She's going to be joining Timory for the next hour. And, of course, the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky and Karen for the last time. Although, again, she'll be pinch hitting every now and again.
You never know.
The relationship with Relevant will continue.
Yeah.
But, Karen, I got to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for welcoming me to Relevant Radio. You've been such a big help for me personally and such an encouraging person. And everybody loves you. I think you know that.
Aww.
I mean, you are America's big sister. And and I'm going to miss you tremendously personally. So don't be a stranger.
Thank you, Kale. No, I will only get stranger. I won't be a stranger. And I appreciate all the love. I am feeling the love. And it's a vocation I love, okay, and I'm never going to stop loving it. So I'm going to keep praying for you, and I appreciate your prayers for me.
You got it. You can count on those to be sure. Well, thanks everybody for listening and for hanging with us through this week. Thank you everyone who donated to our Give Hope Pledge Drive. We made it. We made our goal. So there's more of these shows coming your way next week on The Kale Clark Show. Really want to thank Lucas Holt for all his great work this week and for producing the week that was, and our tribute to Karen. Enjoy that wedding that your sister's going to have this weekend. God bless you.
Yes.
And happy anniversary again to Lucas and Gina Holt. Patrick Alog produced tonight, working the board with aplomb. Nice job, Patrick. Go have a shower, man. Just kidding. And Karen, what can I say? We love you. Thank you for everything.
Karen.
God bless you.
Thank you.
And have a great weekend, everybody. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.